I feel bad. I feel like a bad person.
It's okay. I have an online date for like 7 months, so it's fine.
No. Oh, you haven't?
No.
Have you been actively on the platforms?
I recall you renouncing it.
Yeah,
on
I
Facebook.
Haven't. I haven't done anything since February because I got over it, and then I was like, when I'm ready, I'm gonna play it like a video game. And then I was like, I don't want to play that video game yet.
Yeah, you certainly don't want to catch them all.
No. So. No, like literally, like online dating apps is like playing Pokemon Go because I play Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. It's like you catch 100 and like 3 of them maybe are worth keeping and you got to check the stats and you go, eh, maybe. And then you give it a shot and you're like, no, trash. I'm an A+. I don't settle for Bs or Cs or Ds.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
I'll settle for a D.
Well, sure. Sure.
Them's the jokes.
Settle for a B minus D.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned 3 specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they will now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
In this penny-squishing episode of The Stab Show, Squad Patrol's Dana Bryant must track down a killer whose hidden clues to his crimes in the local penny saver, or buy all the futons in town trying. Regular Exclusive Blend's Andy Saroyan goes undercover in a puppy mill to try and find the cutest little fluff muffin there ever was, you know, before something animal cruelty happens. And developer of the hit new Steam game, Expressorcist, Nick Pettigrew, has to convince enough orphans that Santa is real in order to power Saint Nick's doomsday device to stop the Tooth Fairy from mind-controlling all the people whose teeth they've collected over the years! This intro is still too long. All the while, me, your host, Jesse Jones, tries to match every misconnection in the Sunday paper so the world can just have one kind of nice day. All this and so much more tonight on Stab. Now, let's dive right into the program with segment one. It's reorganization. Computer people think they're just so dang smart. Just because they make inanimate objects do magic, they think they're so dang smart! Computer engineers and help desk folk have a hard time interacting with normal people because they just see them as ones and zeros. But the thing they know the most about, the dullards that use their technology, is that they're the biggest problem with how things work. Thus, PEBKAC, or problem... Wait, that's P-E-B. I did say that. Or problem exists between keyboard and chair. A clever way of saying the dumb dummy trying to computer is fucking shit up. Which, to be fair, is usually not wrong. But let's immediately forget what P-E-B-K-A-C might already mean. And instead, give me who or what else P-E-B-K-A-C might stand for or represent to you, Dana Bryant.
I'd just like to mention that at my job, we call it a picnic error. Mm. Problem in chair, not in computer.
Oh. Nice.
Anyway, okay.
Okay.
The year 2025. Robots rule the earth. We all know that this day would come, but we did not see the true danger that would cause the robot invasion. Veganism. Oh. As a choice, sure, veganism is totally fine. You do you, boo. But when the world, every single person in the world went vegan, it gave the robots exactly what they needed to take over. I can't really go into detail about how that works, but trust me, that's how it happens. Most humans quickly succumb to their captors, and now they work in the data mines that the robots force them to work in, day out. But a few freedom fighters resist, and they graffiti the city with their rallying cry, P-E-B-K-A-C, please eat bacon. Oh. Kale accelerates captivity. It's really hard to explain, but meat and bacon and even other animal byproducts like eggs and cheese and butter, this is what we need to fight the robot hordes. I have traveled back in time to warn you.
Oh, no.
Everybody must please eat bacon. Kale accelerates captivity. Oh. So whatever you do, don't become a vegan. Thank you.
Done and done.
You're like Morpheus.
Never would. I just assumed that that the machines had partnered with all of the uneaten animals to overthrow humanity. And so we had to whittle down their forces by eating their delicious bodies.
That is a good theory.
I don't know.
I'm
world building.
To know that my partner was vegan, and when she finally fell off the vegan train, it was at Burning Man, and the cheat meat was bacon.
Hell
she
yeah!
Just put it in the mouth.
Yeah. Thank you, Dana. so good, Andy. Let's hear what you have in way of a pebkak. PEBKAC.
This one's really personal to me.
Yeah.
PEBKAC to me, as an acronym, stands for Please Exercise Basic Kindness as Cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this might seem far-fetched to you, but this is a real problem for folks like me who belong to the lunch truck community. Some of you may not be familiar with that term either. A lunch truck, I'm talking directly to you. A lunch truck is a person who, for one reason or another, desires for another person to eat parts of them. Now, it should be a symbiotic relationship between lunch truck and cannibal. They are helping each other. But sometimes cannibals don't have manners. And I am tired of seeing on the news these lunch truck cannibal meetups going wrong. If somebody says to you, you can eat one digit, you eat one digit. Mm-hmm. You don't need a toe. No, that's three digits. You don't need a foot. That's even more digits. You don't do it. You got to have manners as a cannibal.
Yes.
And don't just gobble me down. Don't just take my digit and throw it back in your mouth like it's a Mento. No. Cook me up. Make me savory. Make me sweet. Give me some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yeah. So good. Thank you. But so in your recounting, a digit is just to a knuckle. It's not an entire finger or toe.
That's
apparently
correct.
Is that phalange? Is that how that's measured?
Metatarsal?
No, that's not correct.
Yeah. See, I thought
here's a digit for you, Dana.
Oh,
that's okay. Sorry, that's the only way I can use my biology degree.
See, I was pretty sure it was like a sub digit. What is one piece of a finger then?
Well, I mean, on your hand, like the bones in your hand are your carpals.
Yeah.
And then the ones in your finger are your metacarpals.
Okay.
And then in your foot, all the bones in your foot are your tarsals.
Okay.
And then the ones in your toes are your metatarsals. Yeah.
So technically, phalanges.
Well, because phalange is a general term for your fingers and toes at the same time.
Oh, so.
All right.
So your. Yes.
So your metatarsals and
dancing
your metacarpals.
Phalanges.
Those, all right. Well, there. That was satisfactorily solved for me.
Thank you.
I'm sorry if that ruined your entire bit, Andy.
No, it's fine. It's fine, Dana.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
It's payback for that creepy sound.
That's fair. That's fair. Thank you, Andy. Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Oh, we wanted to hear this one again anyway.
No.
Yeah. We probably solved it pretty early, but I don't care. We want to hear all of it again. thank you, Andy. Hey, Nick.
Hey.
Let's hear your take on PEBKAC.
Deep in the vegetable kingdom, a wary broccoli king sits upon a moldy throne. His advisor, Lord Carrot, shambles into the throne room. My liege, the people are in an uproar. They demand that something must be done. Do they? Well, what can be done? Shall I pull rain from the sky? Why don't I simply ply the barren earth with nutrients? Nothing grows in this kingdom. There have been no children grown in a generation. But my leafy lord, they say that if only you were to listen to the witch in a viridescent flash. The broccoli king skewers Lord Carrot. A sickening snap as steel meets crisp vegetable flesh. What of the witch, Lord Carrot? My king, why? Lord Carrot slumps against the hilt of garniture, the broccoli king's fabled sword. Wiping orange from his blade, the Broccoli King levels his sword at the remaining council, cowering in his court. Please, feel free to speak of this witch to me, so that you may find yourself Julienne like our dear friend Lord Carrot. A small, withered Sir Gherkin hobbles forward on a pretzel cane. My lord, many a battle have I fought for you. You know where my allegiance lies, but your pride will be the ruin of this kingdom. I do not pretend to know how heavy lies your crown, but the witch's curse is true. We must give her what she wants. Not you. Ooh, this verse is going quick. Not you too, Gherkin. I want children to grow in this kingdom as much as the next, but she asks the impossible. Slay the roast dragon. It has turned our best knights into char. Sir Gherkin flings open the shutters of a nearby window. If you won't listen to me, listen to your own people. Hear their cries. As the Broccoli King ambles to the window, what starts as a whisper mounts to a roar, 100,000 vegetables echoing a single chant. Hebgack! Hebgack! Please, Elder Broccoli King, allow children.
Oh, so good. So good. Oh, either I want either a DreamWorks or whatever studio makes VeggieTales. I want this. I want it now. Oh, thank you, Nick. You don't know what happened. Let's finally meet the panel. Hey, Dana.
Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing better.
Good. Good. That's always a positive. What have you been up to? Mostly comedy-wise, but you can tell us about any trips that you've taken as well.
Oh, yeah. I just got back from a trip to the South.
Yeah.
And went on a music tour, so that was fun.
Nice.
About music from the 50s and the 60s and 70s. If I never hear an Elvis song again, I'll be so happy.
Well.
Like, no offense, but it was a lot of Elvis.
Yeah.
And he was talented, but not the most talented person I heard over the weekend.
Yeah.
Over the week. Comedy's been good. We're working on our Halloween show for Squad Patrol.
Sure,
sketch. So, you know, keeping it classy and Halloween-y.
Of course. Of course. Halloween shows are always very classy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And comedy is always so highbrow.
Oh.
And,
so,
you know,
so
the
much.
Topics are all, like, smart and not blue or,
no.
You know.
It's always.
Scraping the barrel at all.
No. Always to the height of our intelligence.
Oh, yeah. You look at my comedy barrel, and it is full to the top.
Oh.
Not scraping any stuff. Mm-mm. Drags out
no.
the bottom at all. No.
No. There's not even a bottom there.
No.
It's all tops. I shouldn't. That doesn't.
Nobody's happy with all tops.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work.
All tops? Is that a double barrel?
Thank you, Dana. Good to have you. Andy Saroyan.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
It's your first, like, full-ass episode of this show. We've had you a couple times for the year-end spectaculars.
I was typing like the wind today.
Nice. So in those shows, you were given like one prompt.
Right.
Just drop in and be airlifted back out. But no, this time you got the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, there's going to be a lot of visuals, which will translate very well into the audio medium.
That's exactly right. I'm going full Carrot Top on this one.
Hell yeah. What are you up to in general out in the entertainees?
Well, theater-wise, doing three shows at this lovely establishment.
It's true. That's true.
We get to do every first and third Saturday. Yep. We do regular exclusive blend. Which
so good.
Is very, very unformatted long form improv.
So good.
It's just two words and we see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another show called Power Play, which I highly recommend.
Also
today
good.
I went to pick up my daughter from school. She's three.
Oh,
I know.
It's too young. It's too young for school.
There's all the kids are cute.
Sure.
Ish.
Yeah.
But like, there's one who, like, just having been around her enough, you can sort of sense her personality, and she's very much a rule follower. So I walked in today to pick up my daughter, and this little girl just stood up unprompted and was like, "Ani had an accident."
Oh,
Oh, no.
But apparently this was an epic accident that took place on the playground.
Oh.
And I think just cleared the whole yard.
All right.
Like, I literally, a teacher was like, I didn't see it, but I could smell it.
You know what? At three, that's fine. That's perfectly acceptable.
Absolutely.
It's too goddamn young to be in school. They got pre-K and pre-pre... How many... It's too young.
I mean, it's TK.
TK?
Yeah, TK is a thing now. It's before... I don't even know what the T stands for.
Tiny.
Is that really what it is?
I hope not.
Sure.
Transitional. Oh. Yeah, there we go.
I went to kindergarten when I was five or whatever. That was it. That was school.
You probably took a nap too, right? They don't do that anymore. Not in kindergarten.
I don't know.
You got time.
They do naps.
Calculus and stuff. Yeah.
I don't know that I did naps. I played with blocks.
I can see that.
Yeah. Lots of blocks. Well, good for the first part of all those stories and sorry for the second half of that. But good to have you, Andy. Good to finally have you on the program. Nick Pettigrew, we've had you on the program a bunch, and we keep doing it.
Yeah.
Nick, so a couple weeks, two, three, 4 weeks ago, finally the game that had been promised for so long, Express Assist, was released.
And
I understand there's news.
Oh, the news isn't about the game.
Oh, okay.
See, the news is about so much more.
Oh, well, then fuck the game.
Recently, I've been having what is known as bloody stool.
Yeah!
And so
woo-hoo!
I went to my Kaiser Permanente doctor today, and heaven help her, she had to look like straight into my asshole, and I don't feel the same.
Sure.
I don't feel as a person the same anymore. Not only like she spread my butthole, and then she took. There's a light in there. There's a
in
light.
Your, there's in a light in your butthole.
It was already there.
There's a light in the room that they can use to like get
sure.
a better look.
Sure.
And she used that to get a better look of my butthole.
Uh huh.
And then she put a thing in there.
Uh huh.
And I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I bled. And the long story short is, I have a hemorrhoid.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's what's going on with me lately.
Okay.
Do you have a bidet?
I do. I do.
That was helpful for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe turn it down from laser beam.
Well, it's got to get all that gunk off there. It's a chore.
Yeah.
Old
all right.
Faithful.
All right. Well, and you also released a game, whatever.
Like a board game or a video game?
No, video game. Express
video
Exorcist.
Game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Express Exorcisms. It's wherever you can get your it's mostly through Steam.
Steam
or
right
Twitch,
now, yeah.
Or
it's
not,
a Steam
not Twitch,
only
Itch.
Game.
Well,
Itch has the original demo that I created.
Okay. But the official release is on Steam.
Yeah, the actual release is on Steam.
All right,
yeah.
So check that out. It's like $3-$4. We're going to have to do a playthrough one of these days. I want to do that. I just haven't gotten around to it. All right. I thought there was more there. I thought one of us was going to respond to the other. Well, good to have you, Nick. And sorry.
Hey, I'm glad that it's nothing more serious.
Yes,
you know?
That's all of us clenched when you started that story.
Mm. It's terrifying, right?
Yeah, yeah. But just a hemorrhoid. Oh, that's all right. We'll just spritz that down. All right, back into this. Yeah. Mm. All right. Oh, it's a perfect transition into segment two. It's pickup lines. and she probably didn't say anything sweet right before.
Not a word.
No.
No nothing.
It's just, here it goes.
Oh. Yep.
Pickup lines. There is an art to the pickup line. Oh, on the surface, it may seem like the dumbest mouth jumble of booze-slurred word salad, begging someone to think they're cool enough to have their parts cupped or fondled. And below the surface, it's that too. But convincing a relative to total stranger to just do that, that seems pretty artful to me. So in pickup lines, you're asked to give us three pickup lines. Two are from the following things. So go on. Make art. Pants touching art. We're going to go 1-1-1, 2-2-2, three times around, as we do in segments two. So Dana, let's get us started with pickup lining. Let's hear your first of three pickup lines. Two are from spatial awareness.
You know, normally I'm pretty coordinated, but I definitely trip and fall for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're off.
I have to do a costume change.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, well, that makes sense now that I'm reading ahead.
You can cover for me while I change.
All right. So, weather, right? Okay. Andy.
Yes.
Oh, is there more?
No, that's it. You're
okay.
Good.
Okay. Just making sure. Andy. Let's hear your first of three pickup lines. Two are from those bumpy yellow crosswalk curbs.
So I'm going to play the crosswalk
sure.
curb?
Well, would hope after putting on a yellow shirt. And a splay.
Hey. Hey, you. You with the long white cane. What's got 75 hard yellow nipples all pointing at you? This guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I actually did see a gentleman with a cane using... I
assume that that's partly what
yeah.
they're for.
Yeah. That's largely. I saw it. And running the cane over the white crosswalk line, and they know that's where... It was fascinating. I shouldn't have been staring. But you don't get to see that often. Thank you, Andy. Sorry, Nick. I was being not very subtle about it, but he wouldn't know. Nick, I'm just digging deeper. Let's hear your first of three pickup lines. Two are from a countertop compost bin.
That's a nice compostable adult diaper you're wearing. It'd look better crumpled up inside me.
Oh my God.
The worst part is you're not wrong, but everything about it was. Second time around. Dana, let's hear your second pickup line tour from spatial awareness.
Let's go back to my place so you can better understand your body's position in relation to mine.
Damn.
Dana's are pretty hot.
Yeah.
Those are like good, yeah.
Somebody's actually doing this on purpose. All right. Andy?
Let me get back in position.
Yes, please. It's
method.
It's all part
thing.
Of the character.
All right.
Second pickup line, two are from those yellow, bumpy yellow crosswalk curbs.
Hey, you in the wheelchair. Am I crazy, or is this the second time you've rolled on top of me this week? You like those bumpity bumps, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of that chair and sit on my face.
Okay. All right. Is it all face? Is there a specific area of it that is... I don't know.
Don't overthink it.
No, I'm trying not to. I'm trying to underthink it if possible. Nick, let's finish our second time through with your second pickup line tour from a countertop compost bin.
I think you're the most beautiful creature I've ever laid eyes on. But then again, I'm full of shit.
It's true.
I don't think you're supposed to put shit in the compost.
Well, I mean, it's a relative term. It's garbage. It becomes...
I've
been
putting it in the wrong bin.
Yeah, well, wasteful. Wasteful, Andy. You're not just shitting on your kitchen counter? Yeah, what are we doing? What are we even doing here? Dana, let's start wrapping up our picking up. Let's hear your 33 pickup lines. Two are from spatial awareness.
I'd let you penetrate my personal bubble.
Wow.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Thank you, Dana. There it is. And Andy, third time around, pickup line tour from those bumpy yellow crosswalk curbs.
Hey, you, the dog, you sniffing me? Wondering what I am? Piss on me!
All right. The curb knows what it wants. Knows what it does. That did escalate. really quickly. Nick, let's wrap up these pickup linings before some other piece of tech fails me. Nick, let's hear your third of three pickup lines. Two are from a countertop compost man.
Are you a rotting carrot, Julienne, by a mad broccoli king? Because I want you inside me. It's another inside me thing. Yeah. There's a lot of inside me stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Still not wrong. It's never wrong. Thank you. Oh, so good. Segment three, it's closing arguments, which I've been warned everyone has gone long on. So let's see. have you ever stood in front of a judge or a dozen absolute morons in a box, all staring at you like you did murder? Sounds like a pretty stressful position, guilty or no. But when you're standing shoulder to shoulder with a complete sociopath whose only job is to convince others that you didn't do something you 100% did, it becomes perversely thrilling. And today, you get to be those legal perverts in closing arguments. In closing arguments, it's your job to convince the jury that your client isn't nearly as bad as they might seem to be. So go on, convince me not to believe my own eyes. Dana Bryant, let's hear your closing arguments in defense of toll bridges.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution wants you to think that my clients, the eight Bay Area toll bridges, are simple ruffians, reminiscent of the old mobster days where some jerk in a suit with a Tommy gun is going to go roughing up some mom-and-pop stores for a few protection money. But I have shown through evidence that my clients are upstanding pillars of this community. They're making connections, forging safe passages, and providing a service to their community. Now, their first crime, extortion. The prosecution wants you to think that they're forcing you to pay money just so you can go to work or enjoy a fun concert in the city. Yeah. But you know what? That money pays for the very bridge itself. True, other bridges in our fair state don't have tolls, but they just choose not to. It's not the Bay Area's toll's fault that they take advantage of the fact that they can charge. Those bridges are more important than, say, a yellow bridge in Sacramento.
Sure. It's fair.
You know what? Because the money pays for the bridge for upkeep, so you can still make it across. If it wasn't for that, you just can't get from one place to another. I mean, and we make it as easy as possible to give us your money. I mean, you don't even have to carry cash anymore. All you have to do is just drive through the automated toll booth and you get a bill later in the mail. It's super easy. I mean, granted, sometimes the bill might come like a year later and remind you of a traumatic event that happened that day. And then suddenly you're like crying again because you're like, damn it, and you can't call the person and be like, you owe me half this toll, motherfucker. The second crime. Violation of personal privacy laws.
Oh, well.
Sure, the toll takes pictures of you in your car without your permission, but I swear it's just the license plate. And you know what? Do you even have an expectation of privacy in your car? I don't think so, buddy. It's not the bridge's fault that you chose that exact moment where you're driving through the toll to ask your girlfriend for a quick hand job.
No.
While you're driving. I'm sorry, but you're the one breaking the law here, not my clients, the toll bridges.
That's fair.
And we're not even going to talk about the third crime, obstructing a highway or public thoroughfare. Why is that even a crime? And is it really even obstructing, or is it the thoroughfare? Thank you very much. So you know what? Are toll bridges obnoxious? Sure. Do they sneak up on you just when you think, oh, I think I took the right road and I'm not going to actually get through the toll? Haha, just kidding. Of course. I mean, and do you also have a small heart attack when you have to suddenly brake because you didn't realize there's a toll bridge and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to hit someone just to go through a little slot and then there's like 50 lanes and you all have to merge and it's like chaos and you don't know what you're doing? I mean, yeah, everybody deals with that. Yeah. But that is not illegal. That is not a crime. That is just a small price that we pay to live in a society where there is bridges, because now water is no longer an impassable obstacle, but just a beautiful, shiny thing that we can now observe as we transfer over it. Yeah. Viva la toll bridge!
Jeez. Wow. All right. All right. We live in a society of bridges. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Another costume change, obviously. Makes perfect sense.
Put on
sense.
A tie because well, I'm yeah. playing a lawyer.
Obviously.
But apparently I didn't tie it.
That's
well.
All right. One end is long enough. thank you, Dana. Hey, Andy.
Hey.
Let's hear what you've got. Let me set you up first.
Yeah, please.
Let's hear what you have in way of closing arguments in defense of... closing arguments in defense of the guy in the office who every week wishes everyone a happy hump day with a little giggle.
Just want to say before I start this that this closing argument was heavily inspired by the character of Jake Tyler Briggins from 1996's classic A Time to Kill, played by the delicious Matthew McConaughey.
Okay,
is anybody
fair.
Actually familiar with this closing argument that he gave? Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how this goes over then.
We'll
see
how this goes over. We'll get it.
All right, so I have to summon my Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, please. A time to kill.
All right, yeah. Here we go. I had a great summation all worked out, full of some sharp Lorian, but I'm not going to read it. You see, in all this legal maneuvering, something has gotten lost, and that something is the truth. Now, it is incumbent upon us lawyers not to just talk about the truth, but to actually seek it, to find it, to live it. What is it in us that seeks the truth? Is it our minds, or is it our hearts? I set out to prove a happy man could receive a fair trial, that we are all equal in the eyes of the law. That's not the truth, because the eyes of the law are human eyes, yours and mine. And until we can see each other as equals, justice is never going to be even-handed. Now I want to tell you a story. I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes while I tell you this story. I want you to listen. I want you to listen. This is a story about a young man on a Wednesday walking from his cubicle to the break room. I want you to picture this young man. Mm-hmm. He passes Sandra Rosenthal's desk. Happy hump day, he says, with a smile and a thumbs up. Mm. Barely a smile from Sandy Rosenthal. Barely an upward crease at the edges of her sad little mouth. It's worse at Bryant Brown's cubicle. Happy hump day! Bryant doesn't even look away from his computer. And Leo Lombardi turns away. He turns away and rolls his eyes. I want you to imagine this young man reaching the break room, opening the refrigerator to get his lunch and placing it in the microwave, sitting down at the table and waiting for his tilapia to heat up. Alone. Nobody joins him. The only sound is the hum of the microwave. And then something else. Tapping on keyboards. The ticking of thumbs on a phone. Sporadic giggles. They're slacking about him. Again. They have nicknames for him. Captain Hump Day. Humpty Dumpty. Humpty Hump. Hump Nazi. Fuck Face.
Yeah.
The giggling continues. The microwave hums. Still a minute to go on the tilapia. He buries his face in his hands. He wishes it was Thursday. They've ruined Wednesday for him. Can you see him? Can you see him slouched over at that lunch table? I want you to picture that young man alone in the break room, left to die. Can you see him? I want you to picture that young man. Now imagine he's white. The defense rests, Your Honor.
Oh,
if you saw the movie, that sure. last line would be better.
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know what? I there was too much stacked against him. It was, I mean, on top of everything else, Andy, in the break room of his office, he's also microwaving fish.
Yeah,
it was just a minute when he last checked it. How long was that going?
He likes his tilapia firm. Rubbery.
I think sometime in the time that I've been in this office, someone has microwaved fish. I thought it was an urban legend. But someone actually microwaved, and it was just, it was a hate crime. Oh, thank you, Andy. The tie's holding. Nick Pettigrew, let's finish up some lawyering. You've got a client that you've got to save from, I don't know, let's call it death row. Nick, let's hear your defense, your closing argument, in defense of your whole ass sandwich falling out of the back of the bread on your first bite and landing all over the front of your work shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you for your kind attention during this case. And I beg you, please, allow me just a few more minutes of your attention. I would like to begin by explaining the concept of implicit bias. Essentially, it means that all of us carry inside of us certain biases or prejudices that we may not even be aware of in terms of their impact on our decision-making. Sure. I know that as you look at this sloppy pile of mess that is my defendant, certain biases may well up inside of you. How dare he sully such a pristine shirt, and at the beginning of the day, no less. Well, I ask that you consider your implicit biases as we proceed with these closing arguments. Now, I could question who eats a Philly cheesesteak at 8:30 in the a.m. I could question what lunatic would make a Philly cheesesteak with two slices of Roman wheat bread. I could even ask why such a demented fool would microwave that sandwich so as to ensure it is at its maximum flimsiness and mess-causing potential. But I won't ask any of those questions. Instead, I will ask a much simpler question. What harm was done? A polo work shirt was ruined. Truly a shame. But let me ask, is it the same polo that you've worn every week for the past 15 years? Is it the same polo that has earned you your nickname, Polo Pete, even though your name is Marcus? Is it the same polo that your ex-girlfriend dumped you in because you are, quote unquote, incapable of change? If anything, the crime committed is forcing a man set in his ways to make the tiniest of changes,
all right,
to grow in the most imperceptible of ways. One can hope that he buys a new shirt, maybe even, dare I say, not a polo. Perhaps the crime committed was the compassionate euthanasia of Polo Pete. Why, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. My client and I will await your verdict forthwith.
Yeah. Oh. Wouldn't be a closing argument segment without an appearance by the Southern lawyer.
Just a simple, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm just a simple Southern lawyer.
Oh, so compelling every time. On to segment four, it's Angry Poems. One fish, two fish, red fish, fuck you, fish. Anger and poetry, expertly on display. I feel bad that you now have to follow such a masterpiece. But sadly, here we are, in the old chestnut known as Write an Angry Poem About It, where you've been asked to write some angry poems about the following subjects. Welcome. You arrived in time for the introduction to this segment. Good job. So, we'll go down the line. Dana, let's hear your angry poem about steak knives.
Okay, I pulled this from my past.
Oh.
So this is a personal, real-life poem. Okay. 18. Summer vacation. Jobless. Hopeless. Carefree. Advertisement. Sales pitch. Manipulate. Teenage. Me. Mother made me go. If only I could know, why do I sell Cutco? Best friends, mother, kitchen, knives,
so sharp. Slicing. Leather. Too quick. Finger. Oh. Bleeding. Oh. Sold a pity knife for my finger strife. Goodbye, sales life.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Was that the only set you ever sold?
No, actually, another friend's parents are opening a restaurant. I broke the record for most knives sold in a weekend and quit because fuck selling knives.
Yeah. Get out while you're on top, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You break a sales record, there's nowhere to go but down from there.
Exactly.
So, well done. No.
Yeah.
Don't want to think about it. moving quickly.
But they're very sharp. I highly recommend.
Sure. Sure. That's...
Yeah,
it's their entire purpose. All right. Oh, looking forward to this. Hopefully most of it gets picked up by mics. We'll see. Andy.
Yeah.
You've heard an angry poem about steak knives.
Yes.
Let's hear an angry poem about high fives.
All right. High five? High five? Why? Why high five? Why? Why? Are you over 65? Do you have pasty white thighs? Do you ride a recumbent bike? Is your lunch just unseasoned rice? Why? Why? What is your drive? To believe I jive with giving you a high five? Look at my elbow. My elbow! Not in my eyes! Whiff and a miss. Nice. You laugh it off, I die inside.
Oh, no. All right. I never snap, but I'm doing that. It's a thing now. I don't know. It's what the kids are doing. They snap at poems.
Oh, okay. Now we're taking all the sound out of it? Okay. Are you even allowed to make contact between the two digits? Or?
All right. Yeah.
Snap is nice.
Yeah. Oh, there must be no oral appreciation.
I also
anything.
Just think a standing ovation would be hilarious with just people going like this.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy. Nick Pettigrew.
Hey.
You've heard an angry poem about steak knives. You even heard an angry poem about high fives. Let's hear your angry poem about trophy wives.
What a dame, handy for the arm. Without her, he'd be lame. A balding, pudgy real estate agent lacking any charm. But who is she behind her painted smile? Not a lady of refinement and class. She stared at the silverware for a while. Before using a salad fork to scratch her ass. What is going on with this lady? She's a 10 out of 10, but then again, she mentioned people eat cats in Haiti and said dating a cousin isn't a sin. She's a trophy wife to be sure, but I wouldn't say she's very demure. I don't want to cause a scene, but she's licked everyone's chicken bones spotlessly clean. I'm at the end of my wits. The state of this woman is giving me fits. Why is it that nobody else seems to give two shits? Oh, never mind. She has amazing tits.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. There we are. There we are. Oh, no. No. I'm not even going to call that the evolution. It's a devolution of celebration. All right. Well, that brings us finally... to segment five, final segment of the show. I know, I'm sorry. But there is a 9 o'clock stand-up show. If you want to stick around, please feel free. Segment five, it's Department of Tourism. Places exist outside of our very specific hometowns. It's true. like almost literally everything else in the world is out there, just waiting to be seen by you. If you can get your shit together long enough to go take a trip and get more worldly. But how will you choose your destination? Well, in Department of Tourism, our panel of newly appointed tourism directors of the following places are here to try to convince you, or us, go-placers, that theirs is a place to which we should go, be it for a day, a weekend, or just maybe even setting down whole-ass new routes. Oh, Dana. Was I proud when I wrote this? Maybe a little. Dana, let's hear your pitch for why we should want to come visit Pee Pee Poo Poo Town.
Are you a grown-ass man with the humor and mental maturity of a five-year-old? Well, then, do we have a spot for you. Come to Poo Poo Pee Pee Town. Here, all of your childish responsibility avoiding dreams will come true. All of our town buildings look like a kindergartner drew them, mm-hmm. only there's the occasional lewd image or stupid toilet humor joke built in. Like, for example, the police station says, "Officers on duty." Except for it's spelled D-O-O-D-Y, you know. Oh, sure. Yeah. Oh, did you forget to pack your necessities for your stay? Don't worry, we were expecting that. Since all of our visitors clearly can't get girlfriends and were also kicked out of their parents' house ages ago, our local hotels come equipped with all the necessities that you don't know how to pick up for yourself. Laundry service, room service, pants changing service, because we know that happens sometimes. You pee-pee poo-poo your pants. You can also check out our local bar. It's got all the best beers. All the urinals are shaped like silly things that you'd want to pee on, like clowns or like the bills you don't want to pay, your mother-in-law's face, feminism.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry, there's no dancing on the dance floor of this bar. It's just a group of emotionally dysregulated men mm-hmm. taking their issues out on each other by just jumping into a space. And there's beer bottles.
Yeah.
So that's fun. if you're more of the outdoorsman type, because who among you would admit that you're not woodsy? Yeah. Am I right? We've got rock jumping. It's like rock climbing, but downwards with more danger. We know that as an emotionally immature person, you like to take risks. So who needs ropes and helmets and all that safety shit?
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to helicopter you to the top of some pointy, jagged rocks, and you just jump all the way down. That's it. You just jump. Don't cry, wimp.
Oh.
So come visit Poo Poo Pee Pee Town, because anywhere else is just a big piece of crap.
Yeah. So true. So true. Thank you, Dana.
You're welcome.
Thank you for putting up with that.
No, I leaned into it.
Dana, how can people enjoy more Dana Bryant outside of the very specific confines of this episode of The Stab Show?
Well, I am part of the Sketch Comedy Troupe Squad Patrol, mm-hmm. and our next show is October 11th. It's a Friday at 7:30 at the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Halloween spectacular show, so we've got a one-act sketch comedy Halloween play, and it's very funny, and all your favorite Halloween monsters will be in the show, so come check it out.
Well, there you go. There you go. Assuming you're not here on the 11th,
yes.
Head on over 18 blocks away to enjoy some squad patrolling. Well, thank you, Dana. Always good to have you. Always a gosh darn pleasure.
Always good to be here.
Yeah. Hey, Andy.
Hey.
Remember, you and Nick can't run at the end of the show. We have to recreate a little bit of segment one.
Right on, right on. I just because this is an audio medium, I just want to point out that this piece of clothing I'm mm-hmm. wearing is actually the official, or at least it was, the official busser uniform at Il Fornaio.
Oh.
Okay.
And I never gave it back because no way.
No, it's too classy.
It's too nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was either that or I assumed you operated an elevator somewhere.
Yes. Yes. So. Well, yes.
Andy, let's hear your pitch to make us, I don't know, to make us all want to visit Actions Speak Louder Than Wordsington. Oh.
Hi. Would you like to know more about my hometown, which is Actions Speak Louder Than Wordsington? Well, tough shit! We don't do words in Actions Speak Louder Than Wordington, we do actions! So do you want to go or not? Do you want to go? Great! You gotta pack your fucking bag! Pack your bag! Here! There's your goddamn bag! You need clothes! Did you even bring clothes?
I didn't think to bring clothes.
Jesus Christ! Take some clothes!
Oh, jeez!
Take some clothes! Put them in the suitcase!
Put it in the bag. Put it in the bag.
Hurry! Hurry! Take some clothes! Hey, that red one! What does that one say on it?
Oh.
Finger bang.
Oh.
You own a shirt that just says finger bang? You're going to be a natural at Actions Speak Louder Than Wordington.
Yeah.
And that's my bit.
Hey. Oh. Oh. One, you're just, you're lucky you had an audience that was interested in playing along. Two, secondly, and B, you're lucky there was an audience here at all.
Yeah, I know. I was going to have to throw clothes at Dana, so yeah. I'm really glad it worked out.
So thank you for being here so that you could participate in that. And thank you, Andy. Oh, thank you so much. Easily, aside from Eric, but he's usually not here, easily the most props in an episode of The Stab Show. Andy, hey, how can, well, they can't really, at least online, but how can people enjoy Andy Saroyan outside of this
yeah.
program?
Yeah, I'm just going to repeat what I said.
For the most part, yeah.
First and third Saturdays, 8 p.m. here.
Yeah.
Dopest long-form show in this city.
I like to think so.
Regular exclusive blend.
Yeah.
You it's should come.
It's a lot of fun.
There's like 100 years of experience on stage every night.
That's sadly pretty
That's
accurate.
Damn true. There's a century on this stage yeah. rocking it.
Give or take whoever our guests are. Yeah.
Yes.
That's too long. Don't make me think about that. Thank you, Andy. So good. Nick Pettigrew. Before you get us out of this program. Hey there. So many good visual gags in this show. Oh, fuck. We're going to have accompanying texts or something. Nick Pettigrew, let people know how people can get more of what Nick Pettigrew does where they work in bank.
You can find me online. I'm usually there. I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft lately, so if you you're playing that, hop on. I'm playing the War Within. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. So you might stumble upon Nick Pettigrew.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. That's pretty much it. Go buy my game, Expressorcist, on Steam. It's an express exorcism simulator.
Yes. Which itself, self-explanatory.
What more needs to be said?
Well, thank you for being here, as always, Nick. Let's close out this program. I don't know if this is a town. I don't know if this is what this is. But make us want to visit Raging Walters.
Is your name Walter? Are you mad at the cruel twist of fate that has landed you in this bastard planet, and you seek to inflict your hatred of humanity on others? Well, then Raging Walters is the place for you! Founded in the middle of a pissy little bitch fit by Walter Krangle, the man without any dangle, Raging Walters is only for pissed off people named Walter. Is your name Denise or Craig? Well, then you can fuck off, you dumb pieces of shit. This isn't for you. Within the heart of every Walter burns a core of intense, blinding rage. Here at Raging Walters, we seek to soothe that burning rage with some of the fucking sickest water slides you've ever seen. Yeah. Loop-de-loops, corkscrews, lazy rivers. You want it? We got it at Raging Walters. But again, it is only for Walters. If we see any non-Walters in the lazy river, it will become your fucking watery grave. Do you understand? New at Raging Walters is the Cliffs of Doom, a 300-foot drop straight down, out and ejecting you at speeds of 120 miles an hour. It's the coolest thing in the world, and it is only for Walters. If we catch a single Dave on the Cliffs of Doom, we will shut off the water and let you flay yourself on a completely dry slide. Seriously, I won't say this again. Any non-Walters at Raging Walters will be executed in the fucking public square. Your blood will fuel the lazy river, you non-Walter fucks. Raging Walters, the place only for Walters.
It's about goddamn time. Oh. And the Stab Show is over. Thank you all for joining us tonight. And of course, a very special thank you to our incredible panel, Dana Bryant, Andy Saroyan, and Nick Pettigrew. Now, catching a live recording of the Stab Show is heckin' easy. All you have to do is come on down to Stab Comedy Theater Friday nights at 7:30, and we'll do the rest. Or you can also enjoy the show from the comfort of your own home by tuning in to Stab TV on Twitch. Or if you want a pocket full of Stab anytime you need it, just subscribe to the show via the podcast provider of your choice. Like, comment, and share, and we'll be your best dang friend. But unfortunately, that's all we've got for you tonight. So until next time, I've been your host, Jesse Jones, reminding you there's only 90 shopping days left until Christmas! So, you know, start stressing about that now if you hadn't already. Good night.